Welcome to worship with Old South Church. There is a time for everything, and for everything there is a season, says the wisdom book. Welcome to this Sunday that marks 1 year since our very first virtual All Church worship service. It was a day and a week, and then months filled with unknowns and uncertainty. It has been a time like no other. A time for exhausting Zoom meetings, and maybe for some, a time for restful day naps. A time for no shows at clergy open hours, and a time for the most attended annual meeting. A time for anxious political unrest, and a time for a hopeful historic transition. A time for heartwarming Zoom memorial services, and a time for sacred socially distanced wedding celebrations. A time for masks and social distancing, and a time for vaccines and possibly safe reopenings. A time for overwhelm and email fatigue. And a time for deeper connections and new rituals. We welcome you today, whatever time or season you are in. Weeping or laughing, dancing or mourning, know that you are welcome here. No matter who you are, no matter whom you love, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston at such a time as this. We would love to know who is worshiping with us today. Let us know by sending a greeting in the chat feature and by signing our friendship pad, which is posted in the chat feature. We would love to welcome you, and welcome. To support our ministries of mercy, beauty, and justice that have carried us through this past year, and hoping they will carry us in this yet-to-be-known year. You can go to oldsouth.org/donate or copy the link in the chat feature to donate. At Old South, there are many ways to get involved, and today you can join us for some of our exciting programming just after the service. If you're up for singing, you can join us at our hymn sing. If you'd like to be in conversation about the sermon with the preacher, join What's the Word with Catherine Schofield. Or if you're new here and want to hear more about membership and just have other questions, join us at our Connections event. The links for these are all available at oldsouth.org/Sundays. We are so delighted to have you with us today, at this time and in this season. And in this sacred time together, we turn our gaze towards God. Welcome to worship. Welcome home. Let us worship together, dear friends.
Jesus Christ, take faithful wings, we rise. The Lord's Prayer. This prayer has brought many a comfort for many generations and has brought much comfort for us in this past year. And so today, as we remember the year that has been, we bring to remembrance this prayer and remember our God, who is our ever-present help in our time of need. A God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. A God whose love is steadfast and is faithful till the end of time. I invite you to join me in praying this prayer in whatever way you remember it this morning. Our gracious and loving God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hi kids, it's Pastor Sean. You know, so often in the Bible, the people of God cry out to God. We are so hungry. We are so thirsty. We are so lost. What are we even doing here? Ugh! The people of God grumble and complain a lot. They cry out to God for every need they have. Basically, the Bible is a big book of crybabies. Hey, I'd like to talk to the manager. And complaining is pretty natural. I mean, we do it all the time. We don't want to do the dishes. We don't want to eat that vegetable. We really don't want to do our homework. It's been 1 year, one long year since we've seen each other in person. And oh, how we have complained. We don't want to wear our mask. We don't want to go to school on our computers. We want to play inside with friends. We want to hug people. We really want to go on trips and go eat at that restaurant. And we really, really want to go to church, right? You see, we follow a long line of people in the Bible who, when frustrated, cry out to God, even complain to God. And you know, it feels good to say that stuff out loud sometimes. But every time the people send their complaints to God, God, or a prophet speaking for God, responds and reminds the people that God has, in fact, given us everything we need to keep going, even if it's not quite what we had in mind. Like, take church, for example. We aren't back in person yet, hugging and singing and sneaking cookies from coffee hour. But we are still connected. We have church school on YouTube and Zoom. The grown-ups have organized to fight for justice and equality. We had a Christmas pageant this year, totally online. God has given us so many ways to stay connected and to keep our church going, ways we never could have imagined on our own. And I'm pretty thankful for that, because it means God has our back. God won't leave us to fend for ourselves, but will give us everything we need and more. So yeah, let's complain. There's a lot to complain about, and God can take it. But let's keep our eyes open for all the ways God is still providing and be confident in our own ability to rise to each new challenge. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Thank you, God, for hearing our complaints and for giving us what we need time and time again. And we all say, Amen.
From the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. From the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There have been times when this pandemic year has felt like 40. Days blending together and dragging on interminably, ever-present uncertainty and disruption to routine, missing friends and family, missing celebrations and so many of the little things that bring joy to our days. But for the Israelites, it was 40 years, wandering lost in the wilderness. Yes, God had set them free from captivity, but in one swift and surprising moment, they were told to pack their things, don't even wait for the bread to rise, and hit the road to follow an unfamiliar leader to an unknown destination. Total disruption to routine. Ever-present uncertainty. Old comforts left behind. Throats parched, grumbling bellies, sand between their toes. It's really no wonder that the Bible characterizes these Israelites during these years as complainers. Yes, they did complain. Moses, what about water? Moses, what about food? Moses, we are done with this manna stuff. Send us some meat. We'd have been better off if we had stayed slaves in Egypt. And this was more complaining than even God could take. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. It's a clear message, and in fact, the Israelites get it. They don't charge God with wrongdoing. They look at each other and say, uh-oh, We've done it now. So they go to Moses and admit that they were wrong. They were wrong to complain about him and about God, and they ask Moses to pray for forgiveness. Moses is instructed to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. From then on, whoever was bitten had to look up at the bronze snake to be healed and live. It seems like a weird solution, but I think it shows a lot of God's wisdom. God does not take away the snakes, but God does provide a way for people who are bitten by the snakes to be healed. The sin of the Israelites is that they are so inwardly focused that all they can do is stomp their feet with impatience and complain against their God. Their sin is cured by looking away from themselves and looking to God. This is how it is for us as well. In this last year, when we've found healing and strength to fight against despair and anger and a host of other venomous things, we've done that by looking up and beyond ourselves, by looking up towards God. And we've had to face mortality in a whole new and very real way. That's what the Israelites had to do too, boldly face the root of their fears, look squarely at the very real reminder of their mortality. In being reminded of the fragility of their own lives, the Israelites could come to see what a gift life truly is, and how all life, every minute, every hour, is a gift of love from God. It's a hard thing to face up to, but this reminder of our preciousness, the opportunity breathed into every moment, this is what can bring us real healing and strength. Now, with all of that background, take a jump with me to the Gospel of John, to the passage that we read, chapter 3, verse 14. And just as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Lo and behold, this strange snake story from the book of Numbers is tied into the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. John compares the snake on the pole to Jesus on the cross. To enter the kingdom of God, we have to be able to face directly the crucifixion. We have to be able to look at Christ on the cross. This is the same message as the bronze serpent. For us to be healed, we have to be willing to remember both our humanity and God's love. The cross is a symbol of both. But in both cases, God demands that we look at it. Before we can have either healing or life, we must recognize our own fragility and the wideness of God's mercy. It's uncomfortable and it's hard, but if we are willing to look at it, to spend some time with it, to let it speak to us however it will be ready to hear the next verse of the Gospel of John, the one so many of us learned as children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what both the serpent and the cross are ultimately about: mercy, love, life. It's been a year. one year of struggle, of tears, of facing very boldly our own mortality, the fragility of our lives and of those we love. But it's also been a year when we've been reminded of the power of community that cannot even be stopped by lockdowns. When we've remembered that we are a part of creation and so deeply interconnected. When we've recognized and sought to transform venomous snakes of racism and bigotry and hatred, and when we've turned our hearts toward God in new ways. This has been the gift of this year of pandemic. We have looked up, we have looked out beyond ourselves to find preciousness and love woven into every minute of every day. Amen.
A Litany of Remembrance, March 13, 2020 through March 14, 2021, 1 year. God, how do you measure a year? News of a pandemic, a novel coronavirus, insinuating itself among us, overtaking us down. Schools closed at the drop of a dime, empty shelves, the food chain disrupted, hoarding, masks, the mask wars. Hand washing, social distancing, devastating diagnoses, oxygen. Personal protective equipment. Hospitals overwhelmed.
God, how do we measure this past year? The curve, the staggering numbers, the daily counts, quarantine, testing, comorbidities, the virus slinking through nursing homes, veterans' homes, prisons, and crowded apartments, the lives lost, the sheer awful numbers of obituaries in the papers, pages and pages and pages of obituaries.
God, how do you measure a year? Downtowns turned ghost towns. Restaurants, theaters, concert halls, children's camps, team sports, all shuttered. Vacations, birthday parties, and weddings canceled. Funerals foregone. Loved ones fighting to survive, too often dying, isolated from their aching families.
God, how do we measure this past year? Frontline workers, doctors, nurses, medical personnel, chaplains, grocery store workers, first responders, scientists, and the race for a vaccine, Zoom and homeschooling, remote work, pods, and screen time.
God, how do we measure the year gone by? Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, cell phones capturing what cannot be denied, naming the original sin of the US, racism, white supremacy, a season of racial reckoning, learning and determining to become anti-racists.
God, how do you measure a year? Pre-recorded worship, Zoom funerals, remote baptisms, the news of the vaccine, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, a light at the end of a long tunnel.
How do you measure a year in what was not? Hugs, gentle touches, smiles unmasked, singing together, sturdy pews, chapel chairs, that bread and cup taste known only in church, church coffee, fussing with name tags, organ pipes vibrating with sound.
Oh God, how do you measure a year? Can we cry now? Let it go. Release it all to you, God. The too many dead, the suffering, the heaving grief, the exhaustion, the assault on our democracy, the conspiracy theories, the re-emergence of white nationalism. Can we name it? The shame and pain, the sheer unrelenting assault of this past year.
God, how do you measure a year? By saying thank you. Thank you, heroes and sheroes, docs and nurses, scientists and first responders. Parents are heroes. Teachers are heroes. Musicians are heroes. Our biblical forebears are heroes for teaching us to face catastrophes of biblical proportions.
How do you measure a year? By saying thank you, singing thank you for all who hoped against hope, who cared, who dared, who voted and advocated and taught. Thank you for all who dropped off groceries, made calls, said prayers, gave rides, did errands. The truth is, for how hard and awful it was, the year was also a season of love.
Twenty.
Let us go now in peace, guided by the light of God and the love woven into each and every minute, each and every hour, each and every day of our lives. Amen. Thank you.